In 1095, at the Council of Clermont, Pope Urban II delivered a sermon. He addressed the crowd with a call to go to Palestine and reclaim Jerusalem, which had been under Muslim rule for several centuries. Urban II was a skilled politician and orator. He recalled all the grievances of Christians in the East, including the persecution of Christian pilgrims, and also promised forgiveness of sins for all who participated in this war. Barons, counts, and dukes enthusiastically welcomed the idea. Since they were all knights who had been trained in the art of warfare from childhood, war was a way of life for them. They knew practically nothing else, and now the Pope promised a war that would lead them to paradise, which, for deeply religious people of the 11th century, was the ultimate achievement. Even more excited about the idea of the crusade were the younger relatives of all these feudal lords, who often, having been left without an inheritance, received at best only small holdings, or in some cases, sought a better fate in the clergy or as mercenaries. Such a campaign gave them a chance to acquire new territories, where they could establish their own countships, principalities, or even royal dynasties. Soon, several armies were formed in Europe, ready to set out for the east. In southern Italy, recently conquered by Norman people, the smallest but most disciplined and capable army was formed. It was led by Prince Bohemond I of Tarento, having been deprived of his paternal inheritance by his stepmother and half-brother. He sought new territories beyond Italy. From the Occitans, the largest army was formed, led by Count Raymond IV of Toulouse. The Knights of Lorraine, led by the Bouillon brothers, Godfrey and Baldwin, formed the Third Army. The Fourth Army, assembled in northern France, lacked unified command and was not truly an army in the conventional sense. It was made up of individual forces, such as the troops of the younger brother of the French king, Hugh of Vermandois, son of Anna Yaroslavna, and Duke Robert II of Normandy, who had to cede his duchy to his younger brother to raise funds for the crusade. Additionally, it included the troops of Stephen II of Blois and Robert II of Flanders. Ordinary people also wanted to join the crusade. Some hoped to become knights and lords, permanently escaping poverty. Others were convinced that they would receive absolution for their sins and enter paradise, as promised by the Pope. Some viewed Palestine as the true promised land and were eager to settle there. This army, which was more of an unarmed mob, consisted of peasants, preachers, marginal figures, impoverished knights, and various adventurers. It was led by the preacher Peter the Hermit and the knight Walter the Penniless. Arabs had conquered Palestine as early as the 7th century. For a long time, Muslims did not impose significant restrictions on the local Christians, and Christians from Europe were also allowed to make pilgrimages to Palestine. The Arabs were fewer in number compared to the local Christians, so they could neither harm them nor force them to convert to Islam. The only restriction imposed by the Arabs on the local Christians was the implementation of the jizya, a tax for non-Muslims. The situation changed in the 10th century. The Arab state fractured into two caliphates, the Fatimid Caliphate, ruled by Shia Muslims, and the Abbasid Caliphate, which remained under Sunni control. Palestine lay precisely on the border of these two states, and frequently changed hands between them. In the 11th century, the Seljuk Turks began to move into the Middle East. Having converted to Islam, they established their own state, which quickly fragmented into numerous sultanates and emirates that were in constant conflict with one another. The region was flooded with military forces, both regular troops led by local rulers and bands of marauders, often remnants of defeated armies. These lands became dangerous for both Muslims and Christians. Attacks on pilgrims became more frequent, with many being captured and sold into slavery. A notable incident was the attack on Bishop Gunther of Bamberg. He was traveling to Jerusalem leading a group of 7,000 pilgrims. Near Caesarea, they were attacked by Muslim forces, with some being killed and others taken captive. It remains unclear whether these forces were Fatimids, Seljuks, or perhaps just a band of marauders. Certainly, Muslims attempted to address their internal problems, but these efforts often led to even greater divisions and new conflicts. the Fatimid Caliph Al-Hakim bi Amr Allah, known for his strict adherence to religious norms, held non-believers responsible for the crisis and began persecuting them. Among other actions, in 1009, he destroyed the main Christian holy site in Palestine, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. It was in this context of political crisis and constant infighting that Muslims encountered the Crusaders. Alexios I Komnenos was the first Byzantine emperor from his dynasty. His rule was based on the authority of his military victories. In 1084, near Trikala, he defeated Bohemond of Taranto, who would later participate in the Crusades. 7 years later, Alexios defeated the Pechenegs in the Battle of Levunion, after which he focused on the war against the Seljuks. The Byzantines frequently relied on alliances and the hiring of foreigners. To fight the Normans, Emperor Alexios hired Venetians, and he defeated the Pechenegs with the help of the Cumans. He also employed the remnants of the defeated Pecheneg horde in his war against the Seljuks. Maintaining this tradition, in 1090, he appealed to the Pope for an alliance, planning to use European knights as allies against the Turks. He made no mention of Jerusalem or the Crusades in his communications. However, Urban II, who had a better grasp of European politics, focused on a more pressing issue. While the Turks seemed somewhat remote, and by the standards of that time were at the other end of the world, Palestine was familiar to Europeans through biblical stories. It appeared to them as the spiritual, geographical, and economic center of the world. The first to reach the walls of Constantinople were the groups of common people. According to European chroniclers, there were 100,000 of them, but modern estimates suggest between 25,000 and 30,000. This movement is known in history as the People's Crusade. On their way, these groups carried out mass Jewish pogroms in the cities of the Rhine and looted towns in Hungary and the Bulgarian Kingdom. Local rulers drove them away with force. In Constantinople, the mob did not stay long. According to Byzantine chroniclers, the emperor offered to wait for the knights, but Peter the Hermit, eager not to share the glory with them, hurried to Asia Minor. European chroniclers suggest that due to rumors of their looting, the Byzantines were reluctant to allow Peter the Hermit and his followers into Constantinople. When the poor stole a lead roof from a church in the city, Alexios ordered them to be swiftly transported across the Bosporus. In Asia Minor, the mob settled in the Byzantine coastal fortress of Siviatot. Meanwhile, the Rum Sultan Kilij Arslan observed the Europeans but did not attack, waiting for a more opportune moment. During this time, the mob of poor people fell into internal conflict. Kilij Arslan, having defeated the German factions of the mob that had separated from the rest, cunningly lured the remaining people into an ambush in a valley near the fortress. He then annihilated nearly all of their forces. Peter the Hermit survived only because he was in Constantinople at that moment, negotiating with the emperor. Throughout 1097, all four Crusader armies arrived in Constantinople. Apart from the storm that caused Hugh of Vermandois to lose his army and possessions, and the papal legate Adhemar, who was robbed by the Pechenegs, the Crusaders reached Byzantium without major problems. In Constantinople, their combined army numbered over 30,000 soldiers. The Byzantines provided them with assistance, including troops commanded by Tatikios, the Emperor Alexios' stepbrother, and organized the crossing and supply of provisions. In return, the Crusaders were required to swear an oath of fealty to Byzantium and promise that all lands captured from the Muslims would be handed over to the Byzantine Empire. After this, the joint forces laid siege to Nicaea, which lasted for a month. During this time, the Crusaders managed to defeat the Turks, who attempted to relieve the city. Meanwhile, the Byzantines transported their ships overland to Lake Ascania. Alexios began secret negotiations with the Turkish garrison, which eventually surrendered to the Byzantines. The Crusaders were not allowed into the city, as it was common practice at that time to loot cities to obtain provisions and cover the costs of the campaign. The Crusaders were offended, and this incident became one of the early sources of conflict between the Crusaders and the Byzantines. From Nicaea, the Crusaders advanced eastward in two groups. Leading the way were the Normans under Bohemond of Taranto. Following behind were the French, led by Raymond of Toulouse. After 3 days of marching, Bohemond reached Dorylaeum and set up camp for the night. By morning, the forces of Sultan Kilij Arslan surrounded him. Using the tactics of mounted archers, the Turks nearly defeated the Crusaders, but the unexpected arrival of Raymond and his army saved them. The combined forces struck the Turks from both sides, forcing Kilij Arslan to flee the battlefield and abandon his army. This victory not only cleared the path for the Crusaders, but also expanded Byzantine holdings. Soon, Tancred of Taranto, Bohemond's nephew, and Baldwin of Bouillon, with their respective armies, separated from the main Crusader force and headed to Cilicia, a region that the Seljuks had only begun to conquer. This area was primarily inhabited by Armenian Christians, whose kingdom had already fragmented into numerous small principalities. The knights easily defeated the local small Turkish detachments and began to clash with each other. In the winter of 1097, when Baldwin captured Terpsal, he received envoys from the Armenian prince of Edessa, Thoros. They offered Baldwin the opportunity to serve under the prince, who was currently at war with the emir of Samsat, Balduk I. On the way to Edessa, Baldwin defeated the forces of Balduk I. So upon arrival, the city welcomed Baldwin as a savior, and Thoros even adopted him. It is worth noting that Thoros had a negative reputation. He began his career as a Byzantine general, but betrayed them by switching allegiance to the Turks. All the same, he later betrayed them as well, and declared himself the independent ruler of Edessa. Thoros was of Armenian origin, but practiced orthodoxy, making him a religious heretic in the eyes of many. Additionally, due to frequent defeats, his subjects considered him an ineffective ruler. It is not surprising that after Baldwin's successful campaign against Samsat, the townspeople rose up against Thoros, killed him, and proclaimed Baldwin the ruler of Edessa. Later, due to Baldwin's negative reputation in Europe, a legend emerged suggesting that he himself had incited the townspeople to revolt against their prince. Nevertheless, this was how the county of Edessa became the first Crusader state in the Middle East. In October 1097, the Crusader army began the siege of Antioch. The defense of the city was led by the Atabeg Yagi Siyan. He attempted to hold the fortresses around the city and made several sorties beyond the walls. However, his entire defensive strategy was focused on holding out until allied forces arrived. The siege was also challenging for the Crusaders. Antioch was a large city with long walls, and there were not enough troops to fully encircle it. During the winter, the Crusaders ran out of supplies, and hunger began to take hold in the camp. Despite capturing one of the city gates, they were unable to hold it, and the city remained impregnable. In February 1098, Crusader forces were threatened from behind by the army of the Emir of Aleppo, which aimed to relieve the city. Bohemond of Taranto confronted them. He positioned his troops on a hill near the Lake of Antioch and, with a powerful cavalry charge, decisively defeated the Turks. The siege continued. The Crusader commanders struggled to agree on a strategy. During one of these disputes, Bohemond struck a horse standing near his tent with his hands, and after this incident, all the other Crusaders agreed that he should take command. Due to the dire conditions in the Crusader camp, mass desertions began. Among the deserters was even Peter the Hermit, who was captured and forcibly returned to the army. At the same time, the Byzantine general Tatikios also left, either disheartened by the prospect of victory or frightened by the Crusaders, who had threatened him with death. In March, English troops under the command of Edgar Etheling arrived by sea in Palestine, bringing provisions and materials for siege engines. In June, after a 9-month siege, the Crusaders finally captured the city. A local resident, an Armenian named Firuz, opened the gates for them, allowing the Crusaders to seize most of the city. Yagi Siyan was killed in an attempt to escape. The only part of the city that remained under Turkish control was the citadel, situated on the mountainous side. While the Crusaders were besieging Antioch, the Mosul Atabeg Kerboga was forming a coalition against them. He enlisted the emirs of Damascus, Aleppo, Homs, and many other Seljuk rulers. Gathering an army of 40,000 troops, Kerboga set out for Antioch. On the way, he attempted to capture Edessa, but was defeated and abandoned the siege after a month. By the time Kerboga reached Antioch, the Crusaders had already captured most of the city. Due to rumors about the approach of a large Muslim army, Count Etienne de Blois fled from the camp. On his way, he encountered the Byzantine Emperor Alexios I and convinced him that the Crusaders had lost the war. As a result, Alexios I turned his troops around and withdrew. Meanwhile, the Crusaders found themselves on the brink of defeat once more. They were under siege from within Antioch, forced to fend off attacks from both outside the city and attempts by the Turks to break out from the citadel. The city provided them with little to no supplies, leading to a severe food shortage among the troops. At this critical moment, a soldier named Pierre Barthélemy claimed to have discovered a sacred relic, the Lance of Longinus, the lance that had pierced the side of Jesus Christ. With renewed morale, the Crusaders began to prepare for battle. At the same time, dissent began to spread among Kerboga's forces. Some of the emirs deserted him, while others refused to participate in the battle. The troops, remembering past grievances, started to clash among themselves. This disorganization reached such a point that when the Crusaders emerged from the walls of Antioch to confront them, the Turks were caught off guard and unprepared for battle. The Crusaders' vanguard was led by Hugh of Vermandois, who quickly defeated the enemy forces besieging the walls. Following this, the troops of Count Godfrey of Bouillon engaged in the main battle. Simultaneously, the Occitanians attacked the Turkish flanks, while the Normans repelled the enemy's rear attacks. The reserve forces, commanded by Bohemund of Taranto, delivered the decisive blows, forcing the Turks to flee the battlefield. Subsequently, the remaining Turkish forces in the citadel, under siege by Raymond of Toulouse's troops, surrendered. Immediately after the capture of Antioch, the Crusaders began to have grievances against the Byzantines. They recalled Tatikios' retreat, the fact that the emperor had turned back his forces, and the inadequate supply of provisions. Hugh of Vermandois, the most pro-Byzantine of the Crusader leaders, was sent to negotiate with Alexios. After barely conducting the negotiations, he fled back home. The Crusaders refused to transfer the captured city to the Byzantines. Instead, Bohemund of Taranto declared himself Prince of Antioch as Bohemund I, establishing a second Crusader state in the Holy Land. The Crusaders spent the next 6 months capturing small towns south of Antioch. The city of Marat al-Numan held out the longest, resisting for 2 months. The Siege of Marat is associated with stories of cannibalism among the Crusaders. Eventually, after the capture of Marat, the knights divided. Bohemund remained in Antioch, while the rest, under the command of Raymond of Toulouse, proceeded to lay siege to Arca. The siege dragged on, threatening to replicate the protracted situation seen in Antioch. Consequently, Godfrey of Bouillon convinced the troops to march on Jerusalem. After capturing Ramla, the Crusaders advanced towards Jerusalem, which had been taken by the Fatimids a year earlier from the Turks. The Fatimids had previously offered peace to the Crusaders, but the Crusaders had demanded the surrender of Jerusalem. The siege of Jerusalem, which began in June 1098, lasted over a year. It was only when the Genoese arrived in Palestine, bringing siege equipment for the Crusaders, that they prepared for an assault. The final assault on Jerusalem began with a decisive attack. Crusaders breached the city walls and took the city from both sides, leading to a brutal massacre. The violence was indiscriminate. Not only Muslims, but also local Jews were killed in the aftermath of the city's capture. After 3 days of plundering, the Crusaders finally began to decide what to do with Jerusalem. Most of them wanted to establish a kingdom there. The crown was offered to Raymond of Toulouse, but he declined. Then it was offered to Count Godfrey of Bouillon. He did not refuse the power, but after saying that he did not wish to wear a golden crown where Jesus Christ wore a crown of thorns, he took the title of Defender of the Holy Sepulchre. At this time in Egypt, the vizier Al-Afdal Shahanshah gathered 20,000 soldiers and set out to reclaim Jerusalem. Despite its numbers, the army was not combat ready. It was composed of mercenaries who had no desire to fight or were even feuding among themselves, moving in separate groups even while marching. In this state, unprepared for battle, the crusaders encountered them at Ascalon. With a surprise attack, they easily defeated the Muslims. Thanks to this, the crusaders established their foothold in Palestine, creating their primary state, the Kingdom of Jerusalem. Nominally, its king was considered the chief, and all other crusader states were his vassals. These states would endure for nearly a century, constantly engaged in warfare. The First Crusade achieved its goal of recapturing Jerusalem, and on the wave of success, Europe would be swept up by a crusading fervor for the next two centuries. Subsequently, the Crusaders would vigorously fight not only against Muslims and pagans, but also against Orthodox Greeks and inhabitants of southern France, all in an effort to maintain their influence.